Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Brilliance Security Podcast. Hello, my name is Steve Bocut, and I am an editor for Brilliance Security Magazine. Brilliance is an online digital publication dedicated to the security industry. Our mission, and thus our name, is to illuminate the intersection of physical and cybersecurity. We cover both of these security domains by publishing original content about threats, hacks, products, and security strategies. We hope you will enjoy this podcast and visit us at brilliancesecuritymagazine.com. Welcome to the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your listening. Today, our guest is Nick Herihill. So Nick is the Director of Support at Spin AI, and Spin AI provides an all-in-one SaaS security platform. So we appreciate Nick bringing his expertise to the show today, because we're going to be talking about security risks associated with SaaS applications. So that's his area of expertise. Let me tell you a little bit about Nick. Nick Herihill is an experienced cybersecurity and business leader. His industry experience includes leading security teams at enterprise companies such as PayPal and eBay, as well as building programs, processes, and operations at cybersecurity startups. Nick has managed teams focused on vulnerability management, application security, third-party risk, insider threat, incident response, privacy, and various facets of security operations. And with that, welcome, Nick. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. It's great to be here.
Yeah, appreciate it. Okay, so let's, before we dig right into the topic, I think I've found it useful to let the audience, should they not be that familiar with Spin AI, maybe you could take some time to talk about your company, whatever you think we need to know about Spin AI to before we get started.
Perfect. Yes. So Spin is a SaaS security platform for mission critical SaaS applications. So when I talk about mission critical SaaS applications, I'm referring to apps like Google Workspace, Microsoft 365, Slack, Salesforce. And what we're invested in is proactively protecting your SaaS data from various risks in the SaaS environment, like shadow IT, ransomware, data leak and data loss, as well as non-compliance factors.
Okay, awesome. So that's perfect. I'm glad that that's the expertise that you bring to the show. So let's get kind of an overview. Let's start with an overview, if we could, of the modern SaaS environment and why it's become increasingly important for businesses to be aware of these risks that are associated with SaaS.
Yeah, so the SaaS environment has essentially become our working environment, especially over the last 3 or 4 years or so, where we've seen not just the movement of folks that are working from home, but just the overall emphasis on utilizing cloud applications, because these cloud applications give us a lot more flexibility to collaborate, work from anywhere, and not necessarily have that emphasis on the on-premises environment as much as we used to. But with movement to that SaaS environment becomes risk. You know, there's a lot of things that we do to introduce things for collaboration, productivity, and efficiencies, but at the same time, it does introduce risks when we're plugging things into our environment that have varying degrees of access, and with those varying degrees of access and other factors related to those applications and extensions, become risks. And one of the trends that I'm seeing is, number one, just a lack of visibility into this particular area. And number two, the fact that, you know, since we're providing kind of an extension of our SaaS environment, that it's increasing the attack surface within the SaaS environment, as well as becoming more of an attack vector.
Got it. Yeah, and it's fascinating, because as you were describing, when you were talking about what your company does and the mission critical SaaS applications that you protect, I'm sure that most of the audience probably had the same reaction I did. And that's like, wow, you've just described my day. Those are all the tools that I use on a daily basis. So that, that is the world that we all live in today. So recently, SpinAI published a report. So let's, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And if you could talk about some of the findings or the key takeaways from that report.
Yeah, sure. So just kind of a quick, just starting with a quick overview of the report. So since we're focused on SaaS security at Spin, we wanted a better understanding of the actual risks associated with applications and extensions that have become so pervasive in today's business environment. And those applications and extensions that I'm referring to are those apps that have OAuth access into your SaaS environment. So if you can think of, you know, as an end user where you're granting access to various applications or extensions via your, like your Google or Microsoft credentials and that OAuth token, that's providing access into your SaaS environment. And, you know, the big thing which I noted earlier is since these SaaS applications make collaboration efficiency more easier, they've become more popular and pervasive. There's quite a sprawl of these applications and extensions. And what our report revealed are a few interesting things. With number one, I would note the fact that 75% of the apps that we've assessed are of medium or high risk. Mm-hmm. And some of those factors that are going to make an application or extension more risky, it is related to a lot of different things that we should all be concerned with. Number one, the permissions entailed to the environment. You know, does this have extensive access, like read, write, delete, all those types of things that could lead to real risk to the confidentiality, integrity, or availability of the data. But a second finding that I would note is just the fact that in working within the industry, what a blind spot this is for companies, as well as the fact that it's very hard to manage. So if you are in security or IT administrator, there are thousands of these applications and extensions out there. And being able to get your arm around those, provide an assessment, is very difficult and quite daunting. So it leads to a lot of shadow IT risk. And we're finding that a lot of companies are not proactively managing this. And then the last thing I would note is the fact that, and this is true, you know, throughout all applications, whether they're a SaaS application or not, is just the fact that applications change over time. And we've seen a lot of predominantly used SaaS applications that have become, you know, more risky over time, just like any app. These could be trusted applications installed by many users throughout SaaS environments. But overnight, you know, just like any application, they could become either more vulnerable or more hardened over time. So just to sum things up, it was a very eye-opening report in that it shows kind of the expansive use of these applications as well as the risk entailed.
Okay. And I assume that if folks go to SpinAI, your website, they'll be able to download the report. It's available now, that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. So as you were speaking, it kind of made me wonder. So as an enterprise is you know, looking at their tech stack or evaluating solutions that they may want to move into, what can they do to determine the risk level? Are there any red flags that they should look for?
Yeah, there's a few different things that I would have administrators focus on when they're looking at risks to SaaS applications. Just number one is doing discovery, which SaaS applications are installed in their environment and mm-hmm. what access do they have? Second thing is what risks are posed with these particular apps integrated with the SaaS environment? You know, looking at those permissions, looking at you know, various security issues with those applications. Like for instance, is this an application that's regularly updated? You know, that's something that we would expect out of any application we use, because they're keeping up with development cycles, they're meeting vulnerabilities and all those different things that we worried about. But beyond that, just looking at other compliance and privacy factors, you know, I talked about the fact that this has become a blind spot for organizations. And I like to think about, you know, some of my initial experience within the cybersecurity industry, where I was doing third-party risk management, and that traditional third-party risk management where if a business unit within my organization was going to either bring in a third-party relationship or bring in an application to access our data, they would go through all those checks and balances that my team would facilitate. You know, looking at all these factors that we worry about with any application, privacy, security, compliance risks. And what we're finding with this today is that not just the security risks around these applications or extensions, but compliance and privacy risks that they entail as well, because they do have access to significant amounts of data. And from a privacy and compliance perspective, those are things that we should understand.
Yeah, interesting. So with the degree of specificity that you're comfortable with, maybe we could talk about some real examples of, you know, low risk or high risk SaaS applications or browser extensions and what sets them apart. We probably don't want to malign any particular brand, but, you know, can you give us some clues there at where low risk and also high risk applications might be?
Yeah. So let's start with lower risk. So the first thing that could be sort of obvious here is low amount of permissions into your environment. So they don't have access to a lot of data or functions that could negatively impact your data. Additionally, they are applications that are maintained and updated frequently. They're from reputable companies. They have a clear privacy policy. And, you know, while any application, of course, is susceptible to becoming vulnerable, an app with low permissions and all these other factors is likely going to provide much less damage. The reverse side of that would be applications that have extensive permissions into your environment. So, you know, some apps that I would think about when it comes to that are, and something that we found that's quite common within like a Google Workspace are these applications that like are an extension of your Gmail that provide different things like personalization, routing, all these different types of things that make things much more efficient for you. But at the same time, they will have extensive permissions to do that. Mm-hmm. So that could be an example of an application that's higher risk due to the permissions entailed. But some of the other factors that we find for applications that you can find on the marketplace every day, one interesting one that I found is that we looked at applications that have a low score from their end users. So, you know, you have the ability to review these on the marketplace, you know, give them a one star if it's not a application that you're happy with its functionality. You know, these end users aren't necessarily grading it on security or privacy, but on if it's delivering the functionality that they want. And what we found with those is a lot of those lower risk applications are also lower rated applications are actually also very high risk. And one of the things that I connected there is quite a few of these are applications that may be maintained by one developer. You know, if you have one developer that's maintaining functionality, that developer, for one thing, they're not going to keep their end users happy with the functionality and keeping things maintained from a feature perspective. And on the security side, the same risks are entailed. You know, they're not keeping the app up to date with various security risks. They become a single point of failure. And, you know, the result is you have a higher risk application.
Interesting. It made me think. So is it common that applications will maybe be low risk to begin with because they don't require a lot of permissions, they don't have access to a lot of data, but as they add functionality and become more mature in their space, they keep requesting more or needing more. And if you grant that, now they're moving from a low risk to a high risk profile, and you may not even be paying close attention to that. Is that something that you see?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, as you could start with an application that maybe it has limited functionality and they expand their feature set over time, that is also going to entail granting additional permissions. So my takeaway for an end user is always understanding, you know, what it is that they're allowing from a permission perspective to kind of meet those business needs, efficiency needs, and kind of understand that trade-off. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't see end users regularly making that decision where they're balancing efficiencies with privacy and security issues. So that's where we really need to have administrators and other folks having oversight and visibility into that so that they can kind of help manage that risk within their organization.
Yeah, no, I aim into that because I know that that's a problem that I experience. If I get excited about the, you know, a new feature or functionality, then I'm just going to be clicking away. Yeah. Here's more permission that you need. So somebody needs to kind of watch over that. So wait a minute. Let's look at this a little closer.
Exactly.
So what are some real world examples of the bad things that can happen with these high risk applications to your business?
Yeah. So the primary risk that we're seeing within the industry is what's referred to as OAuth abuse. So OAuth abuse is, you know, I was talking earlier about these applications and extensions that we're focused on. And when you're granting access to these applications in your SaaS environment, you're doing that via your OAuth token. So with OAuth abuse, there's a few different things that we found within the industry is, number one, a malicious app could impersonate a legitimate app. And by doing that, the end user is trusting this application that is masquerading as a legitimate application. And they may unknowingly provide their OAuth token, thinking that they're granting access to a legitimate application. Just a few other things that we've seen, circumventing authorization scopes. So this kind of leads into what you were talking about earlier, but OAuth allows kind of, initially it could specify a certain scope that they require, but over time, a malicious app can bypass these authorization scopes and gain access to additional data by using a token that has already been granted access to the required scope. So they get into a bit of a scope creep situation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. So let's see if we can provide our audience with, you know, some action items or some takeaways. So how can businesses, you know, effectively monitor and manage the security of their SaaS environments to minimize the risks?
Yeah. So four things that I would note is just like we do in all areas of security, it starts with an inventory and looking at these as, you know, like your asset management, just like you would with other traditional applications that you utilize. Understanding that inventory of those applications, what facets of your business are utilizing those, how many end users are utilizing the applications, what access they have within your environment, so that you have that good inventory, you understand the attack surface. Secondly, if you have an inventory, then an assessment of these applications, really understanding those security, privacy, and compliance factors related to them, you know, which are high risk versus not. But along with that, just having policies and governance in place so that you can align use of these applications with your risk management posture. And then lastly, and most importantly for security and other technical administrators is You know, I've talked about the fact that this is a very big problem and a daunting one to get your arms around as an administrator, since you know, you may have thousands of users in your enterprise with access to thousands of apps. You need to have automated controls in place. So with automated controls, you're reducing that burden on your administrators so that you can shore up those privacy, security, and compliance gaps when it comes to use of these applications.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you. All right, so we're about out of time, but I do like to end with this kind of an open-ended question. The essence of this question is, what should I have asked that I failed to ask? But you know, is there anything else that you think our audience needs to know about security and SaaS applications or about Spin AI?
Yeah, so just starting off with kind of looking at the big picture of this issue, I mean, the thing that I would always emphasize is these applications should be looked at like we have traditional applications that have access to data in the past. I think that, you know, as I noted before, this is a very big blind spot for our industry, and it's just been allowed to sprawl over time. So all of those things that I talked about with, you know, having the need to get your arms around this is very important. And it's been, you know, what we are doing is assisting companies in getting their arms around this. And, you know, number one, with an automated inventory. And whenever I work with a new customer, it's always eye-opening for them to see the scope of these applications throughout their environment. But at the same time, just making sure that they have that assessment so that they can align their risk posture with the use of these apps and extensions throughout their environment. But then we also help these companies with automated controls. And the more mature companies that I've worked with over time have deployed a lot of policies utilizing our Spin platform so that they can, you know, put high-risk applications on a block list or, you know, others on an allow list, and really get their arms around this problem. One of the things that I thought was interesting in talking with a few customers is the amount of time it takes them to assess an application on their own. They're talking up to like 2 to 3 weeks to complete an assessment, which just isn't practical in our environment today. So we provide an automated assessment so that we can save cycles for those client technical and security administrators so that they can utilize our platform and bring down that risk. And it's really been a good story for a number of these big enterprises that we've been working with on this.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you, Nick, for being with me today. I appreciate it. This has been fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the time.
You bet. And a big thanks to our listeners for being with us. And please remember to like and subscribe if you find this podcast interesting. And join us next time for another episode of the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast.